Good morning and welcome to Perspectives, a public affairs program produced by Midwest Communications of Holland. In the 1450 WHTC newsroom, I'm News Director Gary Stevens.
What may seem to some as an impossible task is to others doable. Project Clarity, restoring the Mekatawa watershed, was formally introduced on June 11th before members of the Michigan West Coast Chamber of Commerce. Travis Williams of the Outdoor Discovery Center's Mekatawa Greenway explained that this comprehensive long-term restoration plan for the Mekatawa River and Lake Mekatawa may be ambitious, but it's not a pipe dream. While Project Co-Chair Jim Brooks challenged the business leaders to participate in the five-year, nearly $12 million effort to reduce sediment levels that some consider to be the worst among waterways in the state, with he and other organizers hoping to collect between 70 and 80% of the project's funds privately. In this final part of a four-part series, Williams and Brooks answered questions from chamber members.
The question is there any other projects like this going on around the country? To our knowledge and from what we've been able to figure out, nothing to this scale. We're looking at holistic change on kind of a regional level with us. There's people doing similar things. And part of the documentary process, our documentary team traveled to Florida and traveled to Minnesota to look at places where they're doing similar kind of stuff, but it's not an apples-to-apples comparison. This is really cutting edge. This is really putting us in a position, taking a stance, and it's not necessarily what we're saying we want to implement that's unique. It's how we're going about doing it and the fact that it's coming from a collaborative team, and it's something that's going to be invested in by both public and private. But in most situations, the public, the government dollars drive these projects. This is being driven by the private community. And that's, I think that's why it has legs and it's moving forward. We need to leverage those dollars, but that's where the real win is coming up.
One of the interesting elements of this is that our watershed has many of the serious problems that many other watersheds do, but its size, it's small enough that we really can get our arms around, and whether it's the government or private sector, it's a size that we can really do something about, and it's just a wonderful beta test to be a demonstration project, and if we can prove a success here, I think it'll give a lot of encouragement for larger watersheds to follow the example.
Absolutely. Our watershed, the amount of sediment in our water is significantly worse than that of what Grand Haven has. Yeah, it's significantly worse. I've heard this. I can't say that I can completely tell you. It's totally factual, but the testing that they've done in our streams, there's been folks that have said it. They're probably the dirtiest streams in the state in terms of the sediment load in the water. So what we're looking at, the way we built the plan, okay, there's no way you're going to completely clean up the entire lake. Every time we have a 7 or 8 inch rain, we understand there's going to be runoff, the water's going to get dirty. There's no way to stop that from happening. The target that the Mekatawa Watershed Project has is a 70% improvement in the phosphorus levels in the lake. So we designed this plan with our collaborating partners that we're aiming for a minimum of a 70% improvement in water quality of Lake Mekatawa. And so if we go back to what I said earlier, if you can do a bunch of projects that give you a 2% improvement, doesn't sound like much, but 50 projects at 2% is a 50% improvement to the watershed. 50, $40,000 projects, it's doable. It's really interesting because the new proposal that's out for the Park West Drain District is actually one that implements many, many, many of the things that we're talking about implementing within the holistic watershed. So the new plan has very significant investment in conservation practices, not putting water through tubes and funneling it to the lake, but putting it through natural swales and water courses where filtration and retention can occur. So the plan that's out there is one that does take in account the things that we're saying need to be done. So what we tried to do when we started this out was we went around and talked to everybody. I think we met with every single government unit that's in the watershed. We also began meeting with farmers within the watershed. You saw Bob Dykhuis on the video. Bob's one of our prominent hog farmers in the community. He's endorsed the plan. John Kleinhexel's been involved with on the planning team for the work. He's the one that farms at Hayworth, and he's helping work on that. The Hamilton Farm Bureau has taken it to their board for endorsement. So we have a lot of people working on it. Kelly Goward and Joe Bush and I on Friday actually had a very significant meeting. We had 8 DEQ folks, including Dan Wyatt, the director of the DEQ, as well as several of our legislators, spend the entire day on our watershed, toured it from the water and from land, to help us work on the project. And we had a pledge from Dan Wyatt himself to call him directly to help support what we're doing. He formerly was the head of the Michigan Department of Agriculture and was very excited in helping us work through this project. So we have other people to bring on board. Probably our biggest leader at this point and collaborator has been Bob Dykhuis, but there are others, and there's others that are interested. And like I said, one of our goals was the way this was developing, in order for us to go to the Chamber of Commerce and other people and ask them to endorse it, they have more public meetings. And we wanted to make sure we put this out there to let people know what was going on before we requested more and more involvement from folks. So that's what we're doing today. So you're going to see a whole lot more on this soon. We have a target that, you know, when we started to put it together, we were hoping that we could get somewhere in the ballpark of 70-80% of this privately funded, and the remaining part would be publicly funded. That was our goal. I mean, certainly if we can get more government support, if folks like you can help us tap into federal dollars or state dollars, now you're on the hook. Good luck. I knew you could do that. We all knew that could happen. That's certainly something we would want to do first and foremost, but we recognize going into this that if we wait and expect the government to help fund this to happen, that's going to be a challenge. The Maquetal watershed is not considered a priority watershed, and when you're not a priority watershed, it starts to lower your ability to write for certain grants. And so Kelly, I know, has had a battle with this from the MAC. And it's been something that for a long period of time we battled with. And so we recognize that it can't all be from the private sector, and we don't expect it all to be from the private sector. But the way this has been developed and the way it's working, we're looking at a more pretty significant private investment to lead the way, and hoping that then generates the ability to leverage that with public dollars.
Thanks, Travis. Well, friends, I hope you feel much better informed about our lake and our watershed, and you share Travis's passion for the comprehensive plan to clean up Lake Maquetal. We wish there were a quick fix, but there's not. It's going to take 5 years or more to really achieve the 70% goal. We wish there were a cheap solution, but there's not. And as you see, there's a $12 million nut that we need to raise in order to make the kind of impact we want. That's a serious investment to ask of this community. However, this community has made those kinds of investments before. We've raised that kind of money for churches and schools and field houses and to expand our parks and our trail systems. We've done it many times before. Lake Mac isn't a bricks and mortar asset like a building is, but it clearly is a tangible asset that provides significant quality of life to tens of thousands of people in this community as well as our visitors. And it'll be around even longer than those buildings that we build. So like a building, it serves an important community asset, and we need a fundraiser in order to raise these funds. And our hope is that we can raise that kind of support from the corporations who understand that this lake is an asset that helps attract and retain talent, and it's a key building block of our tourism economy. From private individuals like those of us here today who enjoy that lake with our family and friends, and hopefully from some of the local, state, and perhaps federal governmental entities who understand the importance of water quality as it contributes to the community's economy, to residents' health and well-being, as a wholesome recreational asset, or as a contributor to the community's scenic beauty, all of which enhance the value of area real estate, whether you live on the water or not. We hope that today's presentation inspires in you some of the same passion that Travis has for really moving the needle and finally getting on top of this and having the lake that we all want. There are three things that we ask of you as you leave today. We hope you'll pick up a copy of the plan that's there and to share it with other people in the community so that they're well informed and understand how important this project is to our community's long-term well-being. Second, think about what you and your neighbors might do personally to enhance water quality by ensuring that you're not one of the contributors to the problem. I know Donna and I work with our landscapers to make sure that the way we landscape our yard and what happens to the runoff where our fertilizer and stuff doesn't end up in the lake. It's that kind of thing that we can each think about and make our own contribution. And then finally, please seriously consider making a contribution to the ODC Project Clarity or to the Macatawa Watershed Endowment Fund. I realize that each of our financial capacities differs, and this is an asset that clearly benefits everyone, and that if we can make a difference, it provides a payback to everyone. So we hope that each in your own way think about what you might do to support this initiative. So thanks for letting us tell the story of our lake today and to offer up a dream that is very, very achievable. And we wish you all a wonderful summer and many even better summers to come. Thanks.
The entire presentation from Travis Williams and Jim Brooks, along with questions and answers from Michigan West Coast Chamber members afterward, can be seen and heard at WHTC.com. And that's Perspectives for this week. From the 1450 WHTC Newsroom, I'm Gary Stevens. Thank you for joining me, and listen again next week at this time for more Perspectives.